Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
As far as believing what they're putting out now, I hope it's true. Who knows, but I hope it's true.
That's the president talking about China and hoping that what he's hearing about China and the statistics going in the opposite direction are, in fact, the truth, because that's the point of where we're at. We're comparing ourselves to what's happened in other nations. And look, we've got doctors and nurses who are on social media asking people for masks. We have some giddy up in the department of, oh my gosh, we need to build some facilities, because what happens when we have an onslaught of people who test positive for the coronavirus and they need a bed and we don't have one, or they need a ventilator? Hey, everybody. And that's just a little snippet of what's going on. I feel like Negative News Nancy, but I'm researching it, watching it, looking for all kinds of opinions and trying to weigh what we need to talk about on the show. And we do need to inform you so that you're aware of what's happening. Well, I'll give you some of the upside and some of the downside, I guess. And China is saying that they have no new local cases for a second day. So if that, in fact, is the truth, then that is the good thing. In Italy, it's such a different story because they've had over 400 deaths in just a 24-hour period now, a little bit longer than that. But it keeps getting more and more, so much so that they've got bodies in military trucks that they're just moving because they can't take them all and cremate them all at once. They're just overwhelmed with the dead, frankly. And that is a very scary thing to see. And doctors who are exhausted and trying to figure out how they can get from one patient to the next, and then having to make these crazy decisions on who to treat. We don't want to end up that way. There are more stories about famous people getting it. The coach of the New Orleans Saints, Sean Payton, tested positive for COVID-19. He certainly isn't the only one. Some more NBA players, two also tested positive for it. We're hearing from people as to what that's like, where they get the temperature ratchets up and they get chills, and some of them come through on the other side and it's a day or two. Others, it's scary to watch how they deteriorate. And, of course, sadly, there are deaths that are up over 100 because of this virus from coast to coast. And particularly we know that it devastated that nursing home in Washington State. And then we've seen, as we track this, here and there where some of the people have died as well, as a result of COVID-19. I mean, this, of course, is a virus that can be very dangerous. So anytime you can take the time and opportunity not to transmit it to somebody because you don't know if you have it, reduce the transmission. I mean, that is true. Reduce it, reduce it, reduce it. And let's get through this together, because we have to trust each other with this. So people have died in 18 states. Since the first death, which was back on February 26, so it hasn't even been a month yet in Washington State, a death has been reported somewhere in the United States nearly every day. So at first we were seeing two or three people, but now a little bit more than a half a dozen a day. Monday, the largest increase, 24 deaths were reported in a single day. The key is your conditions, underlying conditions. You seem okay, but then you come in contact with this virus somehow. That's the risky part. So for diabetics, for example, the risk of death is 7%. For those with cardiovascular disease, the heart, 10%. And for patients older than 80, the fatality rate is more than 14%. percent. So we're looking for patterns to try to figure out what's happened. You know, in China, the disease has killed more than 3,000. And Wuhan, we kept talking about the first case was diagnosed there, found that the odds of a patient dying rose with age and other maladies. And so in following this, that's the key, is what emerges, what comes out of this, what, you know, have we seen. For example, I was reading a story about 9 people hospitalized at Tulane. We have lots of listeners in New Orleans with the disease. 4 were in the intensive care unit, and that included a 27-year-old who had pre-existing conditions, in fact, several of them, and was on a mechanical ventilator. So that's part of it. It is definitely about your condition. It is about that. And what could you possibly, maybe something you don't know, some underlying problem you have, and that's also the lurking danger of that. Now, so many in America are working from home, and that presents other problems. Kids are being homeschooled, people are tripping over each other, and they're getting cabin fever. But social distancing can help us flatten the curve, and if we can do that, then we can get out of this faster. And, of course, if we could all get tested, that would be the best thing ever. Then we would know, but we don't have enough tests. We have massive population and not enough tests. Tests only for the people who absolutely exhibit signs of having it, not for everybody else. So the rescue plan, by the way, here's your good news. $1 trillion proposed rescue plan. Trying to get that through Capitol Hill. That would be 2 large checks to Americans and then $300 billion toward helping small businesses avoid massive layoffs. So that's a very, very big deal. You'd probably get anywhere from most likely 1,000 is what you would get. Maybe you would get 1,200 a check, but probably 1,000 and 2,000 in the end, something in April and something in May. So would that help you? I mean, it feels like war, doesn't it? And it also feels very strange, like we're in a movie and all of a sudden, you know, no traffic when it's a heavily trafficked zone normally in the morning hours or in the evening hours. And the fact that you really are, funny enough, talking on the phone more because normally we're texting or doing something else and not actually using our phone that much for speaking to somebody else. I think people are using the phone in that way now more than ever. So I asked some people what was the biggest thing they had challenges with, and part of it is the close quarters, part of it is remembering all the social distancing, part of it is the unknown and being overwhelmed with what the unknown is and what does that mean. And the rest of it is the dealing with the bills and not wanting to be unemployed or trying to figure out how you can juggle everything. And so I think there are lots of people in that boat. We just have to be kind to each other. Be kind. Like, I love that there are so many people across the country who are trying to help with the shortage of masks and who are actually sewing them and sending them to hospitals that need them. But there was a law signed earlier this week that will let U.S. manufacturers sell N95 masks made for industrial uses to hospitals without fear of liability. So tweaking that law really, really, really helps. And then they'll be free to distribute them everywhere they can. All right, stay with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a 1-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeaBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports, too. Go to SurvivalSeaBank.com. That's SurvivalSeaBank.com.
Attention, fellow Americans. We are now at an all-time high risk of illnesses due to pathogens and viruses. So it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. Do it with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Using a patented process with tiny silver particles 1/100th the size of a red blood cell that allows for maximum absorption, Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it inhibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever at around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Kate Delaney, take care and be kind to each other, like I said, in these trying times of COVID-19. So what are the statistics? People keep asking about them. Sanjay Gupta, you see him all over CNN, but I think he, when I look at him and I listen to some of his research, he's really got some good thoughts and good statistics and numbers down. And here's what he said earlier in the day.
4 out of 5 people, 80%, who were diagnosed with the coronavirus contracted it from someone who didn't know they had it. There's a message in there, I think, for all of us. And it's why we all have to behave like we have the virus.
All right, so see, then again, that's what it is. 4 out of 5 are saying they didn't know they had it. And that's, again, what is so scary about it. It's just another reminder. We can tell you, okay, here's what we're seeing. Over 100 people dead. This person contracted it because they were out in the open and they happened to be near somebody who had it. And how do you know? And all that sort of stuff. So you have the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, who's asking businesses to take employees' temperatures, asking employers to do that, and closing everything, closing businesses as much as possible, and saying this is a war zone. And, you know, let's fly the American flag. I've saw a lot of American flags in my neighborhood. There's people putting out Christmas lights, something to make people feel good, because people are fearful, and we have nothing but question marks, like I keep saying, that are hanging over our head. In fact, here's DeWine himself, the governor of Ohio.
Absolutely. People should not be traveling. You know, we're still going to need airlines to bring freight. But as far as personal travel, it doesn't make any sense to me.
And I think a lot of people agree with that, because that's what we're seeing with the airlines. They need a serious bailout, because not that many people are flying And the reason why is because of this virus. I mean, when you talk about a place where you're exposed, I mean, that would certainly be part of it. So now what's happening is if you don't want to fly during the crisis, they're saying don't rush to change your ticket, wait and see for various reasons. Because, first of all, you're going to have a dropped call. We'll call you, waiting forever, all of that kind of thing. And most of the airlines are allowing people to cancel upcoming flights without fees or that kind of stuff, where normally they wouldn't do that. And, of course, anything overseas you're not going to do. And then everything's going to get slashed. I mean, there's deeper cuts in foreign carriers, but certainly there is in the United States for air carriers too. So it's a whole different world for them. And that's why we keep saying stay home, save lives. I saw that the other day. It was written in chalk on the ground right by the grocery store. Stay home, save lives. So I think that's part of the reason people are, and their companies are, there's no travel. So they're saying, who wants to fly? I mean, the Southwest CEO said that. Who wants to fly right now? Of course the bookings are down. That's not surprising. That's what Gary Kelly, the CEO, said in an interview he did that I saw on CNBC. He said it's really all of a sudden, you know, the drop-off in new bookings. And they're saying that the first quarter revenue will be down $200 million to $300 million. And, of course, there's the bailout that the president is talking about of the airlines, which most likely will happen. On that note, let's turn to something else as I invite Eric, the technical maestro for this show, to join me for a lightning round of this or that. Hi, Eric.
Hello, how are you?
I'm hanging in just like everybody else. So here's the first this or that. Corona beer or Budweiser?
Corona.
Yeah, my man. I'm a Corona girl, too. I actually got some Corona the other day for the weekend. I'm having a cold Corona, people. Don't have a conniption. I can't wait. Frozen glass, I'm ready.
That's why we love you, Kate.
Yay! I think it. That's, I'm all about it. Absolutely. All right, so our next one. Erase boards or paper? And so dry erase boards, you know, you can write in that marker and then erase it, or just straight up paper. Which are you?
I never really got into the dry erase thing, so, and I love drawing in pen or pencil and paper, so definitely paper and or pen or pencil.
Okay, paper or pencil. I would say I'm the same way. I have a dry erase board. And I always think, oh, this is great. I'm going to put it up. I'm going to use it. And I've used it more than I have in the past. But then I look at it, and Eric, it's like, oh, that was what I was going to do last year. So obviously it's not effective. So yep. The paper yeah. And pen, which I write everything in, is way, way more effective.
I'm looking at five different dry erase boards that have had, like, the ink on them are probably, they've been there for years, probably.
And, yeah, good luck trying to clean those, by the way. I like that. They've been there for years. Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, so next one is circus or a Broadway show. Which would you rather see?
I've never been to a circus, but I've seen some really cool Broadway shows. Or actually just one.
What was the one show you saw? What was the one show?
It was actually in Dublin. It was the one with all the women. It was all women, like actresses.
Little Women?
It might be. I'm not sure. It was really funny. And it was really, really good.
So you would. So you've never been to the circus either, but so you might lean more toward Broadway.
I don't know. I've always wanted to go to a circus, though.
Oh, so. Circus. You have to go to a circus. Are you kidding? Too bad you missed the era of the elephants, because now we're cruel and inhumane with the whole elephant thing, which I get. People get upset about it. But used to, back in the day, you had the elephants. There would be like this sort of march of the elephants that they would come in the day before. And I, as a kid, went to a bunch of circuses, one in the middle of New York City. It was so cool. So I like both, but I like that experience of the circus. And if we weren't locked down, I would fly up to Minneapolis and I would get you and we'd go to the circus because it would be fun to see your expression with some of the things they do. I think the aerial feats are pretty incredible.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I love animals, so.
All right, so you like that too. Okay, so audiobook or a regular book that you just read in your hands?
Just a regular book. I like to hold it and feel it and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, me too. I'm old school on that. I know people love audiobooks. People swear by them. Oh, I just can listen and I'm multitasking. I'm doing other things. And I'm like, what's the purpose of that? The purpose of a book to me is to escape into the story or read the book and enjoy it anyway. And that's why we do the author's corner. I love hearing people's stories and the fact that they were brave enough to write no matter what, I think is something, because a lot of people talk about writing and then they don't actually do it. So I'm with you. I like the old school way versus audio. So for people listening, just get a regular book. They might not agree with us. I'm just saying. All right, how about this? Chocolate chip cookies or macadamia nut cookies?
Oh, man, chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, me too. Do you like them soft, kind of soft cookies, or do you like them, you know, like when you get Chips Ahoy and those others, they're harder?
Nah, I've never been into those. I did like the chewy, like Chips Ahoy ones, but like fresh out of the oven, like nothing tops that. I don't even know if an Oreo tops a fresh out of the oven chocolate chip cookie.
I would say the same thing. I don't think so either. All right, so that was perfect. This or that. Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you. Have a good one.
I just have to tell everybody, too, since we were talking about beer, and he was giving me the high five or the elbow for Corona. You know, it's not even on the top 25 list. They just released a list of top 25 beers. Bud Light was number one, Coors Light, two, and Miller Light, Budweiser, four, Michelob Ultra, because everybody always wants to watch their weight, and Corona, I shouldn't say that, because Corona Extra. Actually, not straight Corona, so that counts. Corona Extra was number six. And the barrels shipped in 2019, 8.1 million. 8.1 million. So market share for Corona Extra, 3.95%. How about that? Yeah. What was number 25? I mean, there's just so many beers, right? I think I saw that it was Guinness, I want to say. Guinness, number 24. 24. Barrel shipped in 2019, 1.2. How about that? Milwaukee's Best Ice was 25 on the list. Stay with us.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
President Trump telling the nation most of the people infected with coronavirus getting better. The president speaking in the briefing room at the White House and then taking a meeting over at FEMA.
We're poised to come back very, very fast, but we have to get rid of this.
More than 11,000 people infected here in the U.S. that we know of. More than 150 people have died in our country. Other coronavirus headlines this hour, a new warning from the State Department telling Americans abroad to come back to the United States or face getting stuck. And other well-known people who have the coronavirus now, ESPN reporting New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton, the first person in the NFL community to test positive, and Prince Albert II of Monaco, the son of the late actress Grace Kelly, also testing positive. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327. Or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
Oh my.
Potato man, CD on his ear.
Really happy to welcome to the show Rick Cerrone. He's the editor-in-chief of Baseball Digest. He has quite a resume. He was the VP of Public Relations for the Pittsburgh Pirates from 87 to 93 and the Senior Director of Media Relations from 1996 through 2006 for the New York Yankees, right when I was on the air at WFAN, and he probably doesn't remember this, but he was very nice to me the few times that we had any kind of interaction. So how about that, Rick? You probably don't even remember.
Kate, don't underestimate me. You were unforgettable. Of course I remember you.
Okay, so I have to
it was
start
like,
there.
Thank God it's Kate calling and not some of the other people that could be.
Especially some of those, and they were my buddies and yeah, still are,
go.
some of the writers.
Me
yeah,
too.
Some
right.
of the writers.
Well, I meant the people at FAN.
Yeah, Mark Chernoff, he was awful.
No, he's a best.
Yeah.
He's the best.
He is, boy. I'll tell you what, it's funny for people out there. This is some inside baseball. He gave me my first break. I got rejected just a ton of times, and he gave me my first break, so I love him.
No, he's done a lot for me as well. He's an unsung hero.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Sadly, we could be talking about baseball and having been at spring training, but no baseball. What's the latest you hear of when we could possibly have baseball back?
Well, I'm not hearing much because not much is coming out, but I will tell you, Kate, that I know that good people at Major League Baseball, they're looking at, you know, every possible scenario. They're looking at, what if we can start on this date? Okay, what if it's this date? What do we need to do to get ready? Maybe we need more time if it's June 1st and not May 1st. So they're looking at all the scenarios, and they've got them. They've got the 162-game season. They've got the 154 games, the 144. Hopefully not less, but they're working out all the scenarios, and they'll be ready when it's time.
You know, one of the things I heard, and I didn't know if this was a crazy rumor or not, you think of the days in the calendar, just double up, and so more double headers. If it started in June, you just throw out more double headers. Might be tough for the players, but I like double headers. For fans, it could be kind of cool.
Well, I think you almost assuredly will have double headers, whether they be straight double headers or split double headers. But you can only have so much without putting the players at risk. And if you look at the calendar, you know, just lop off the first 2 months and see how many games you lose. How many can you make up and get to 162? So, you know, I'm prepared for a lesser schedule. I think they might even have to rework the schedule and introduce a new schedule, because if you look at it, the first 10 games of the season, I've only looked at a couple of teams, but the Astros and the Angels play 7 times in the first 10 games. In the first 21 games, they play 10 times. So I don't think you can knock the Angels and the Astros down to 9 games when they're division rivals, while you're playing another division rival perhaps 15 to 19 times. So there may have to be some retooling of the actual schedule, rather than just, because everybody's talking about, we pick up on a certain date and we go from there. That at some point might not be feasible.
Yeah, that's what I think, because we just don't know. We're living with the big question mark. So I mentioned it, you know, you worked obviously for the Yankees, mm-hmm. and George Steinbrenner, what a character. I would have had a different relationship being in the media when I knew George. But what was it like working for George Steinbrenner?
Very challenging, Kate. But you know what? If it was easy, everyone would do it. You know, I took great pride in that. I mean, I survived, you know, 11 years, and he never fired me. He talked me into not quitting a few times. But you know, one time he was going to do something that was absolutely crazy, and I said, well, if you're going to do that, sir, I think you're going to need a new director of media relations. And he said, yeah, you're probably right, and he hung up the phone. And I went home, and I told my wife, she said, I think what you should do is just go back to work tomorrow, like on Seinfeld. You know, when George went back to work and after telling off his boss and acted like nothing happened. Well, of course, in George's case, the boss would have none of it and told him he never wanted to see him again. But I went back the next day, and, you know, the day went by, and he called me at like 5 o'clock, and it was like nothing happened. And then I finally said, sir, I think we should talk about, you know, what happened yesterday. And he goes, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, we're not going to do that, you know. And we moved on. But it was a great challenge. I loved being around him. Other people kind of cowered when he would come down to the clubhouse, or, you know, when he would come into the office. But I loved being around him. I loved the challenge of it. And he allowed me to go right back at him. In fact, I think that's why I was successful with him, that he didn't want yes men or yes women. Mm. He wanted, and I went back at him many, many times, and a number of times put my job on the line for it. But I really treasured the time that I had with George Steinbrenner.
Yeah, for you, what was the big lore of baseball? Having played around a little bit, or just loving it, having a passion for it? What was it?
Well, I'll try to keep this short, but when I was young and started going to Yankee Stadium and was entranced by the sound of Bob Shepard, you know, going to a ball game and hearing a PA announcer for the first time, and it being, quote, the voice of God, I used to look in the back of the Yankee yearbook, which I bought every year, and they would have the team behind the team. And wow, they've got accountants, they've got lawyers, they've got a director of public relations. Oh, that's the guy I keep hearing on the radio, you know, Phil Rizzuto. Oh, Bob Fischel just came into the booth, and he told us that at home run by Joe Pepitone tied him for 15th place, you know, that kind of thing. So I knew I wasn't going to grow up to be Mickey Mantle, but there was no reason that I couldn't be Bob Fischel. So now I'm at Yorktown High School in Yorktown Heights, New York. I'm 15 years old, I'm a sophomore, and I'm flunking out of high school. I wouldn't get to the 11th grade. I had to take 2 summer courses. And my guidance counselor, Buddy Dowds, who was also the football coach, said, in exasperation, what do you see yourself doing when you're a grown-up? Because his answer was going to be to whatever I said, his response was going to be, well, son, I think you're going to need a high school diploma for that. And the way you're going, it's not likely you're going to have one. Well, my answer was simple. I said, that's easy, coach. I'm the public relations director of the New York Yankees. And his response was to make me the PR director of his football team. Of the high school football team, if I could get and keep my grades up. So we were the only high school football team in the state, maybe in the country, that had a media guide. We actually had a media guide because I knew that we had a game on the radio once in a while, and the poor announcer, the great Jerry Desmond, who had no idea of how to pronounce the quarterback's name, Timmy Klemchuk or whoever else, and he didn't know anything about them. So how could he do a broadcast? So that's where I got started. And 25 years after that, when I got the Yankee job, after doing a lot of other things, obviously, the first call I made from my office at Yankee Stadium was to Coach Dowds. And I said to him when he picked up the phone at Yorktown High School, I said, Coach, remember that time when I sat in your office and you told me there was more to life than the New York Yankees? And he said, yes, I remember that day. And I said, well, Coach, now there ain't, because I'm sitting in my office, I'm looking out at the field, and he basically started crying. And, you know, we laugh at that to this day. So,
wow,
that's my story, Kate, and I'm sticking to it.
I love it. That's a great story. One of the other things that you had a chance to do, and I think the listeners will find this super interesting, is because I am in sports on the other side like you, on the media side, and I have been around the Yankees and other baseball teams and football, et cetera, and all of that. What's really cool to me is that you also got to be a consultant on The Natural. I think that's one of the all-time best baseball movies. What was
Thank
that
you.
Experience like?
Oh, it was unbelievable. And you know what? If you don't think there's a God, then, you know, how did that happen? I'm in my first year at the commissioner's office, and this phone call gets directed to me. How that happened, I don't know. But there was a movie producer calling up about doing a movie with Robert Redford, The Natural. Okay, you have my attention. Are you familiar with the book? Oh, absolutely. Well, I had heard of the book, but I never read it like most people in the country. And told me what he was doing, and he said, well, we're not taking any shortcuts. This is going to be different. Because in previous movies, you know, when you cut to the game action, they just bought footage. And sometimes it didn't even match up. Like in Fear Strikes Out, about Jimmy Pearsall, he's hitting an inside-the-park home run. And when they cut to the actual game footage, the runner shakes hands with the third base coach. I mean, and that's just one example of how bad baseball movies were in terms of reality. And he was telling me that this was a fictitious team in the actual National League in 1939. And I said, well, all the players will have to wear the centennial patch because that's what they wore. It was the 100th anniversary of professional baseball. And he said, I think you're our guy. Are you interested? And I got my bosses to approve it. I couldn't accept any money. I did get a New York Knights jacket, and I did get but what's the value of having your name in the credits of The Natural?
Huh.
But it was great. They gave me a lot of impact. I remember going up there for a weekend to watch some of the filming in Buffalo, which was a godsend that they found War Memorial Stadium, because it looked like a real major league park that no one was really familiar with. Yeah. And I get in the shuttle, and there's these two gentlemen there, Wilfred Brimley and Richard Farnsworth, two veteran character actors who could not have been nicer. And I noticed that they both got big, thick mustaches. So I get to the set and I see, you know, my contact there, Mark Johnson, who went on to win the Academy Award for Rain Man. And he wanted me to, every detail, if you see something wrong, you let us know. I'm like, well, your manager and his coach both have mustaches. I said, they didn't wear mustaches in 1939. And he kind of put his arm on my shoulder, looked at me, said, yeah, you're right about that. He goes, here, I got an idea. You go tell them to shave their mustache. I said, okay, point well taken.
Rick Cerrone, editor-in-chief of Baseball Digest, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Great, Kate. Let's do it again, okay?
Definitely. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kate.
Mr. Believe, I'm gonna get down on my knees and pick up the pieces, have a Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Attention, fellow Americans. We are now at an all-time high risk of illnesses due to pathogens and viruses. So it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. Do it with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Using a patented process with tiny silver particles 1/100th the size of a red blood cell that allows for maximum absorption, Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it inhibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever at around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
What? Pig in the mailbag.
All right, so we got tons of mail. We're going to head to the mailbag in just a second. I am starting to open up the phone lines a lot more to get everybody ready and primed for that. This is such an audience that emails. But remember, if you're listening to me live, you can certainly partake in the lively conversation. I know you all have thoughts on the coronavirus. 855-266-5283. 855-266-KATE. That's the number to dial. So I got this one from Mac Attack, who says, yo, Delaney, how's your family weathering this coronavirus? I realize that you always give us the numbers, and I've been listening to you and feel almost like we're kin, so I'm concerned. What has it been like for you? Because I know you had to say goodbye to Mahalo. Yeah, so for people who don't know, they're like, what is Mahalo? Mahalo was my golden retriever, and we sadly did have to say goodbye to him last week. And what a timing for that, huh? Where you might be in more, and a lovable retriever would be the best thing possible to hug him, whatever. So yes, we lost the dog, and they're like family members. But my family lives all over the country, so we have a family thread text, which is so easy, right? And we're always texting things during the day. The kids, who what happened, they're out of school. I have a niece and a nephew that they both probably won't go back to school, and they're in their senior years. They both already worked hard, because both of these two had to work hard. They were gifted in other areas than massively academic, but I'm proud of both of them. They both got into to some colleges, one in New Jersey, one in Florida. But the thing they have in common, Owen and Olivia, is that they don't get to, you know, like your senior year, no matter if you're going off to school or not, you get to the tail end and it's fun. You're hanging out. Even people, oh, look, I never talked to him before. Like, everybody's happy or something. I don't know. There's like this, you know, it's a coming of age thing. So they miss out on that. Their last days, I'm sure, were March 12th, and that is sad. And think about that. For anyone who's a senior in high school, they were 9/11 babies. So they come into the world when we are smashed by terrorism and our lives change that way. And now we have this virus on the other end. But my family, knock on the top of the studio desk, is doing really well. So thanks for that question. That was really nice. This one is from Jack, who emails us all the time. He's emailed me almost right from the beginning of the show, and he threatens to call, and he's called a few times. Kate, Kevin Durant and all these other Nets testing positive, how many people do you think they've infected? Could be countless. That's, again, why this is so scary. Because this was a basketball player who signed autographs, touched a lot of people's hands, was in different locker rooms, etc., and who knows who he had contact with. I mean, he was at a game at the Staples Center just on March 10th in Los Angeles. So there are the other teams, people around, people for pictures and selfies, and Durant's pretty good about that. And there was, by the way, three other Nets. So smart of the NBA to cut it off. Very, very smart. Because, I mean, what can they do? So what do the Nets do? They release a press release, and they say, four Brooklyn Nets players have tested positive for COVID-19. Of the four, one is exhibiting symptoms, while three not. All four players are isolated and under the care of the team physician. And they're notifying players, opponents, they're looking at state and local health authorities, you know, to report it. They're communicating. But, boy, that is, I think, super frightening. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. All right, move on to the next one. This is from Mark. And Mark says, Kate, what do you think will happen economically? I mean, how many jobs other than the most obvious ones could be put at risk? Well, I saw a scary stat that about 80 million jobs are at high or moderate risk, they say, right now, and that can change. So maybe they're lost, maybe they're furloughed. It depends. Layoffs, furloughs, fewer hours, wage cuts, all that kind of stuff could be, you know, part of it. And it goes to how long are we in the middle of this assault by the virus? If it's for real all the way through August with limited social contact, and so, you know, people not flying as much. So many people affected by that. Airlines, hotels, amusement parks, sporting events, food trucks, people at schools, cleaners. You know, think about this. It was probably yesterday, I picked up dry cleaning. My great uncles who were both in the war, when they came back, my family wasn't wealthy, they scraped their pennies together and they opened a dry cleaners. And that really set up my family. Like, everybody worked there, my mother, my aunt, as they were growing up and they were in school and everything. And I learned about the dry cleaning business. So I have a different way of looking at that. And when I was going to the dry cleaners the other day, I thought, oh, this is going to take a hit, this business, because if you're staying at home, who's going to the dry cleaners to get dresses and shirts and men's clothes or women's clothes dry cleaned? They're not going to do that. Then you think of hairstylists and, of course, restaurant workers. So it's going to be a big plunge for a lot of people. And that's why the president is saying, yeah, let's get money to people right now. I mean, even if it's $1,000, it's $1,000 you didn't have in the next couple of weeks. And most of the United States has to be in a virtual national hiring freeze. So people losing jobs, not finding new ones. It's so odd because we had such good economic numbers, especially with unemployment, and now it's gone completely, going to go in the opposite direction because most firms would have job freezes. And this is the beginning of this. So small businesses really will get slammed by this. There is no question in my mind that we'll see that. We saw Vegas. They're closing down casinos. Think of casino workers, all kinds of casino workers that would be part of it. All right, here's another one. Let's go to Sam. And Sam asks this. He says, Kate, so now when we look at the virus and we look at this toll increasing, in your heart of hearts, do you believe we can flatten the curve? I hope so. Because I've said it before, I'm not as acerbic as probably the wealthier talk show hosts that you listen to during the day in primo time slots. I'm optimistic. It's easy to get jaded, and I certainly have been there at times in my life with things that I've seen and talked about on this show, but I am forever an optimist, and glass is half full, and that's why I really hope people do take that hand sanitizing, social distancing, because we're seeing that that works. So if I'm 22 and I say, ah, screw that, I don't care, I'm invincible, no, no, no. Think a different way. Think of who you're helping by doing that, and also your own life, because you don't want to be caught in this looping, and that's where we'll be caught. We'll be caught looping, doing the same things over and over and over and over and over again, and so I have faith that people will step up, and I hope that we can flatten the curve, and I hope it's sooner rather than later, but it's not about the blame game. It's about just doing it. It's just about doing it and getting through this together. And together we're either going to fail or we're going to soar. And the more people that can do the social distancing, it's hard. It's hard for me. I get it. The better off we will all be. All of us will be so much better off for that. So Tom Brady was practicing social distancing, and I have to mention this at the end. I even got a couple of emails about it because there's not a lot of sports to talk about. They've all been shut down. But the 6-time Super Bowl champion announced that his time in New England had come to an end. He did the distancing thing from the team. He tweeted it out, and apparently now it looks very much like he's going to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sweet! If you're an AFC fan and your team hasn't been able to win because of Brady, you're super happy if we have an NFL season. So practice your social distancing, everybody. Thanks for listening. Mahalo.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.